Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today we remember the life and music of vocalist and NEA jazz master Cassandra Wilson, who died earlier this week at the age of 70.
There were no boundaries to the world of Cassandra Wilson, to what she explored, and she did it with that sultry, smoky voice of hers.
I'll chat with two of the headliners of the OSPAC Annual West Orange Jazz Festival, trumpeter Freddie Hendricks and vibraphonist Joe Locke.
All of my writing, almost to a one, all of my songs don't start with the notes, but they start with words.
And Janice Burley Wilson joins us, the artistic director of the 16th Annual Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival.
It's my favorite time of year. We work all year long to kind of figure out what story we want to tell every year.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. The jazz world has lost one of its most unique and impactful performers.
You don't know what love is until you learn the meaning. Lost a love you had to lose. You don't know what love is.
Two-time Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, musician, producer, and NEA jazz master, Cassandra Wilson died on Tuesday of this week at the age of 70 in Jackson, Mississippi. Wilson's manager for 20 years, Robert Torrey, released this statement to WBGO this week. It read, "It is with profound sadness that we announce the passing of Cassandra Wilson, the Grammy Award-winning and legendary jazz artist. Cassandra Wilson transitioned peacefully at home, surrounded by family, close friends, and her manager. Her family and close friends respectfully ask for privacy during this difficult time as they grieve her loss. Further information regarding memorial services and arrangements will be shared at a later time." WBGO's Daybreak host Gary Walker first met Cassandra Wilson at the studios in Newark in 1982, before she was famous. She was married at the time to then WBGO weekend announcer Anthony Wilson. The couple had just moved to New York from the South. During Cassandra's first chat with Gary, she told him she was a jazz singer who wanted to test her mettle in the jazz capital of the world. Gary was saddened to hear of her passing.
Whether reimagining the Great American Standard, whether embracing the world of Miles Davis on her own, or in recent years when she visited me in the morning, it was 2017, and she brought with her Irish pianist and singer Liam O'Manley, and we had quite a morning at WBGO. There were no boundaries to the world of Cassandra Wilson, to what she explored, and she did it with that sultry, smoky voice of hers, whether it was working on a Miles Davis reimagination or approaching a Great American Standard or one of the many other things, approaching the world of Bob Dylan. You know, her rendition of Lay, Lady, Lay is just phenomenal. And every time she approached a piece of music with that sultry, smoky vibe of hers, you thought, well, this was Cassandra's music, because it was.
Lay, Lady, Lay, lay across my big breast. Big brass bit. Whatever colors you have in your mind, show them to you and I'll make them shine. Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big brass bit.
Fellow NEA jazz master and WBGO legendary staffer Dorthon Kirk says news of Cassandra's death is hard to process. DK says they were basically family. Cassandra referred to her as Mother Kirk.
I'm just devastated. You know, I must say I'm happy I got to spend quality time with her. The last two times she was in New Jersey, first when she did the Max Roach Centennial at NJPAC, then in June, Jazz Vespers at Bethany was celebrating 25 years. She performed at Bethany last June. I have great, great photographs from that performance.
Dorthon fondly remembers taking Cassandra to Lush Life in Greenwich Village. It was the first time Cassandra had visited a jazz club in New York City. DK also knew early on that Cassandra would become a sensation.
I'm not a musician, as you already know. And I don't know all the technical terms. And really, a lot of music, whether it's jazz, gospel, or anything else, is about a feeling. There was something in her, something about her presentation, the way she sounded. She also played the guitar. There was just a great feeling that I knew something was there that was special and that she should be known to a wider, broader audience.
Cassandra Wilson began playing piano at the age of 6, guitar by the age of 12, and was working as a vocalist by the mid-70s, singing a wide variety of material. After moving to New York City in the early 80s, Cassandra met saxophonist Steve Coleman and became one of the founding members of the M-Bass Collective. At the completion of her stint with M-Bass, Cassandra sought a more acoustic context for her vocal expression. She signed with Blue Note Records in 1992 and released a landmark album titled Blue Light Till Dawn, which would pave the way for a new generation of jazz singers seeking an approach and repertoire that challenged the supremacy of the American Standard Songbook.
Let's get together for a midnight thrill. Everybody's in the house. Nothing can stop us from feeling good tonight. Under a blue light till dawn.
Wilson continued interpreting in fresh and creative ways: jazz, vintage blues, country, and folk music. In 2015, she joined forces with the prestigious label Legacy, a subsidiary of Sony Music. The National Endowment of the Arts named Wilson a 2022 NEA Jazz Master alongside Stanley Clark, Billy Hart, and Donald Harrison. Cassandra Wilson was a true friend of WBGO, and she will be greatly missed.
Take the last train to Clarksville, and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30, cause I made a reservation. Don't be slow. No, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. Cause I'm leaving in the morning, and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together, till the morning brings my train. I must go. No, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home.
The OSPAC Annual West Orange Jazz Festival, produced by Pleasant Valley Productions, is taking place September 19th from 1 to 8 p.m. The beautiful outdoor venue, the Oscar Schindler Performing Arts Center, is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and the festival celebrates the venue's grand reopening of the newly renovated OSPAC. WBGO's own Monifa Brown is the artistic director of the festival, and once again, will be hosting the event. Two of the very talented performers she's booked for the nonstop 7-hour OSPAC West Orange Jazz Festival. Join us now on WBGO. Acclaimed trumpeter, composer, arranger, and educator, Freddie Hendricks. Great to see you, Freddie.
Great to see you, Mr. Doyle.
And renowned vibraphonist, composer, bandleader, and educator, Joe Locke. So glad you could join us today, Joe.
Hey, Doug. It's good to be with you, man. And Freddie, too.
The Freddie Hendricks Experience and Fellowship. What can we expect from you, Freddie, at this festival?
Well, you're certainly going to have some excellent musicians by my side. The great Jed Patton will be on piano, and Stanley Cowell's former student Tom DiCarlo on bass, and the great Chris Beck from Philadelphia will be on drums.
We look forward to that for sure. Joe, you're bringing your songs and story solo vibes to this festival. Give us a little insight to your performance on September 19th.
Well, man, Doug, several years ago, Michael Bourne sort of laid down the gauntlet. He asked me if I would do a solo vibes recital at the Mohonk Mountain Festival, and my response was absolutely not. I can't play an hour set of solo vibraphone. That's a daunting challenge. And
that's
then
right.
I thought about it, and I called him back, and I said, you know what? I'm going to accept that challenge. And I'm so glad I did. And since that first time that Michael challenged me to that, I've done it, you know, 7 or 8 times, and I've really enjoyed it every time. You know, the first time I did it, one of my favorite musicians in the world and one of the great solo performers was sitting in the front row right in front of the vibes, Fred Hirsch. And talk about being put under pressure, man. He was afterward, man, he was so kind and supportive and generous that it was just a great experience. And I wouldn't have ever done it if it wasn't for Michael Bourne, you know, throwing down the challenge.
Wow.
For me, Doug, it's an opportunity. I'm a person who come from a family of words, and I didn't realize until really I was in my mid-50s. I was speaking to an interviewer, and I didn't realize, he was asking about the inspiration for my compositions, and it hit me in that moment that all of my writing, almost to a one, all of my songs don't start with the notes, but they start with words, a turn of phrase, a poem, a piece of literature, or even a phrase that I eavesdropped upon in a conversation or at a grocery store becomes the fodder for a song, that it usually starts with the title and the music follows. So that's how important and intrinsic words are to me. In these solo recitals, I get a chance to play the music, but equally importantly, I get to share with the audience the narrative from which the songs flow. And almost all the songs I'm going to do at the festival are going to be songs that are mostly about important people who've either had an impact on our culture and world, or people who are important to me personally. And each of those songs has a story attached that I'm looking forward to sharing with the audience at the festival.
Freddie, do you get that same type of inspiration with your compositions?
Absolutely. They have to come from somewhere, whatever we consider that somewhere to be. It's somewhere above or out of the realm of the world that we live in. And, you know, I mean, we're, as Joe, I'm sure will agree, we're inspired by so many things. We're inspired by, you know, our mentors, you know, places we've been, people that have passed through our lives, you know, all of these factors play a role in how we compose music. When we do get it on the paper, at least I try to anyway, especially nowadays when I perform, I try to give the audience a picture of what we're about to play before we play it. And, you know, and they come to appreciate that because it gives them some insight on what it is that they're about to hear. So when you tell them a story, once they become, you know, fixated with this story, and then they hear you perform this music, they're like, whoa. Yeah. You know, so it enhances their experience. So, you know, I think that's been working really well for me.
Other performers at the Osbeck West Orange Jazz Festival include Dion Parson and 21st Century Band, the Antoinette Montague Experience, the Jaleel Shaw Trio, the Montclair State University Jazz Ensemble under the direction of Jazz Studies Coordinator Dr. Oscar Perez, and NJPAC TD Jazz for Teens under the direction of Mark Gross. Freddie, you're a Jersey guy for sure. What does it mean to play at festivals in the Garden State for you?
And well, they all mean the same to me, but it's most especially Because I'm from here, you always want to give to your home team. That's the reason why I called my is one of the reasons why I called my debut city Jersey Cat, because especially when I went to school, which was at William Patterson, we had people from all over the country and out and abroad, people that came from Iceland, people that was from Oregon, California, you name it, everybody was there. And everything out of these students was a complaint about New Jersey. Oh, the roads is messed up here, or this is bad, or I don't understand why this is set up this way. And that always bugged me. It's like they have no flaws where they're from, but New Jersey is like the worst state ever. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna represent my state, and I've held true to that, and now it's kind of became a part of my fold. People call me, "Hey, Jersey Cat, what's up?"
I have to say, after 35 years of living in New York City, man, 14, about 14, God, I can't believe it's been 14 years now. I bought a little historic schoolhouse in Middletown, New Jersey, and it was the best move I ever made. I'm a Jersey guy now, man, and
That's right.
it was the best move I ever made. And it's a beautiful state. It's an incredibly beautiful state. And we got WBGO, so how about that?
There you go. See?
And speaking of WBGO, this year's festival will honor WBGO legend and NEA jazz master Dorthon Kirk. She will receive,
Dorthon.
all right,
indeed,
give it
she's
up for
receiving
Dorthon.
the inaugural Ospac Jazz Fest Spirit Award for her tireless dedication to preserving, presenting, and growing America's national treasure,
Well
jazz.
deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah, both of
Dorthon.
you have had your experiences with the great Dorthon Kirk. She means a lot to you, doesn't she?
When I was completely unknown, I had moved to New York City. WBGO, her and Gary Walker embraced me when I don't even know why I was being embraced, but I was being embraced and lifted up by this radio station. And that's when I met you for the first time, Doug. And I would come on air, and they wanted to hear what I had to say, and they wanted to hear my music. People will know my last album or something I did with Milt Jackson's rhythm section, or with or with David Hazeltine, or with Eddie Henderson, or with or my own groups, because they heard it on WBGO. And
Yeah.
Dorthon has been like family to me since day one.
She's always there.
Dorthon Kirk will receive the inaugural Ospac Jazz Fest Spirit Award for her dedication to this music that we call jazz. And for her, it goes much beyond that. Now, there is a rain date if the showers wash out the festival on the 19th. I wanted to mention that it would be the following week, 9/26, September 26th, from 1 to 8 p.m. But hopefully there won't be a need for that. If you need ticket information about this wonderful festival, you can go to ospacjazzfest.org. You can see my entire conversation with Freddie Hendrix and Joe Locke on the WBGO YouTube channel. The Rhythm takes over downtown Pittsburgh as the 16th edition of the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival returns to Liberty Avenue for a free weekend-long celebration of music, culture, food, and community from September 17th through the 20th. And joining us is our great friend Janice Burley Wilson, not only the president and CEO and the artistic director of the August Wilson African American Cultural Center, she's also the director of the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. Great to see you as always, Janice.
Great to see you too, Doug. Thanks for having me.
16th edition. Each year I'm amazed at just, this festival continues to grow in stature and to grow in artistry and to grow in recognition. People from all over the world know about this festival now. You have to be so proud.
I am, and it's my favorite time of year. We work all year long to kind of create, figure out what story we want to tell every year. And I'm very proud of this one. And we have a great team, a small team that works really hard to pull it off and make sure that all of our guests are enjoying themselves and that the artists are happy. It's, you know, how these things go. You want, if people leave happy, they come back. And so I'm proud that we've been around for 16 years and we have the same people coming back. You know, they come with their kids, they come with their grandkids. You have to come with your grandchild sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, before we get into all the lineup, just an example of how big this festival continues to be, your Friday night concert with Samara Joy is already sold out, I understand, right?
It sold out right away. I mean, we didn't even get a chance to promote it. I mean, she's a phenomenon. And young people that have found her on social media, they bought tickets. People that love jazz, love the great vocalist and see her is carrying on that legacy, they're supporting it too. So we have a waiting list for the show and like literally announced it and made it available for our members pre-sale. And the majority of the seats in the orchestra were gone by the time we made it open to the public. So I'm really pleased about that. And we look forward to having Samara going again. We had her maybe 3 years ago, about 3 years ago. And she was, you know, great. And she just gets better and better. And I'm looking forward to hearing her.
The Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival through the years has covered so many genres of music and it has worked. It has worked. You've had traditional jazz artists. You have some of the artists that are coming back, like Orrin Evans, who always thrills the crowd. And we'll be talking about the Jazz Train in a little bit that mm-hmm. he orchestrates that I've been on several times. But this mixture of genres has really indeed been a big part of the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. Tell us about the thinking process behind that.
Well, we've been doing that since the beginning. When I first started the festival, I wanted it to be rooted in jazz, but also to show how jazz, that is a line that connects so many different styles of music. You think about the great groups, big groups of the 70s, like Earth, Wind & Fire, in their recent documentary, they were talking about how they were jazz guys. You know, they played in jazz groups. You think about Mandrill and so many other groups. Those musicians they were real true musicians, so they could play that music, they could play R&B and funk, and then they could go to a jazz club and hang with the jazz guys too. Blues, and we're at the August Wilson Center, and the blues was really influential in August Wilson's work, so we always try to have a little bit of blues or gospel, always have a Latin group. We don't this year, it just didn't happen. So we always have different kinds of music and we always have music feature a band that has songs that people can sing along to. People in Pittsburgh, like, they love to dance and we love to party. So we always provide that opportunity so that no matter who is there, there's something for them. And that's been a philosophy of mine since I started the festival and started curating the collection of music that you would hear, the soundtrack for the weekend.
But for those who have never been to the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival, take us there. Take us how it's organized now. It's in because you have indoor concert, you have the outdoor festival. Tell us what they can expect.
Well, Thursday we have the Jazz Train that you mentioned previously. The Jazz Train is a partnership with Amtrak. The Jazz Train rolls out of New York Penn Station. Or Moynihan Station stops in Newark and then stops in Philly. So you get to pull into Pittsburgh at about 7:40 p.m. And we have a few jazz clubs in the city that we partner with. So if you want to go and hear more music on Thursday night when you get in off the train, you can do that. Or you can go to your hotel, check in and get rested up for the next day. So that's Thursday. Friday, we have the Samara Joy concert at the August Wilson African American Cultural Center. We have a beautiful performing arts center and the concerts in our theater. And then afterwards, after that, the after party is the Taste of Jazz party. We call it Taste of Jazz, Taste of Pittsburgh, because we have about 20 different restaurants set up so you can sample different types of food from some of the best restaurants in the city. And we have three different groups playing. We have a DJ, so if you want to dance a little, you can do that. We have a young vocalist named Anya Nancy, who has a beautiful voice. She's performing. And then we have the classic, the legendary Roger Humphreys, and his group will be performing too. And there's one more group that I'll announce later, but we're still in talks about that. But that's a big party, a big celebration.
You do not have to be at the Samara Joy concert to be a part of the food experience.
No, the tickets for Taste of Jazz, Taste of Pittsburgh are sold separately. People that enjoy, that purchase tickets to enjoy Samara Joy, they get free entry into the Taste of Jazz party. But if you want to just come for the party and the food, you can purchase tickets for that on our website. Saturday and Sunday, we close down the streets in front of the August Wilson Center, and we have our stages, and the live music starts at noon, and those concerts on the outside are free and open to the public. So you can bring your chair. We have food trucks. We have a beer garden, so you can enjoy delicious food from the food trucks, and the food trucks are gourmet experiences as well. So you can do that and enjoy the music, and we have the stages going. The great thing about our festival, something that we worked on together with our production team, was to make sure that you didn't miss anything. So there's no overlapping music. There's no overlapping sound. Sometimes there's a little overlap from sound checks and people get upset about that, but it's not a choice of should I go and see this group or that group. You can catch it all. And you can move from stage to stage, or you can find a location in the footprint that allows you to hear and see everything and stay put. We have our building open to our members and our sponsors, so they can come in. If you are become a member of the August Wilson Center, you can come in. There's food inside. There's going to be wine tastings and different experiences, meet and greets with artists inside the building. The jam session that's led by Orin Evans and members of the Amani record label, some of the artists that he works with. That's Friday night. We also have artists in residence that I'm really excited about. And the artists in residence are sponsored by the Joyce and George Ween Foundation, the Newport Jazz Festival. This is a new partner with us. And I'm so excited because, I mean, it's Newport. It's the best of the best, you know. But our artists in residence are Eric Roberson, who is an R&B vocalist, but also a songwriter, producer, and DJ Kid Capri. So you'll notice that the two artists are not jazz artists, but we're connecting them to the jazz. So Eric will perform each day. He'll do his own music on Saturday, and then he has a special project that he's going to present on Sunday. And DJ Kid Capri, who is a classic legendary hip hop DJ, is going to show the connection between jazz and hip hop music, because a lot of what you hear are samples from classic jazz recordings. We have that happening on Saturday. The jam session will be downstairs in the August Wilson Center. DJ Kid Capri will have a dance party upstairs. That's happening that Saturday. And then Sunday, the same thing. We have the streets closed down and the music goes. We close out with Layla Hathaway, and we'll be honoring her for her continuation of her father's rich legacy. She's created her own legacy, but has stayed true to excellence and integrity in her music. The other honoree is the great Bernard Pretty Purdy, and we're honoring him on Saturday with a Lifetime Achievement Award. I am so excited to meet. I met him at the Newport Jazz Fest, but I had been thinking about him since last year, and we're going to be putting a group together for him to perform some of the classics that he's been a part of, like the great Steely Dan songs. I listen to Steely Dan like it's brand new. And the songs that I love most have Bernard Purdy on those songs. So we have that, and we'll be doing some of the Aretha Franklin music, Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway, that great double album. He was playing drums on that. Gil Scott Heron, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. That's Bernard Purdy. He's throughout the soundtrack of America from the 60s to present. He's still playing. He's still going strong. So I'm really excited about that. And then we'll also be honoring Samara Joy as a trailblazer for keeping the jazz alive for young people. So with three honorees, Samara Joy, Bernard Purdy, and Layla Hathaway for the year, for the weekend.
You can see the full interview with Janice Burley Wilson on the WBGO YouTube channel, where we talk more about the jazz train as well as the artist lineup. You can find out all information at PittsburghJazzFest.org. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.